Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Because I'm not mad. I don't think it's a moral victory or anything, but I'm not mad. I'm kind of in this weird, there's a lot of big picture stuff going on here, Tone. There's a lot of things that it's just bigger than this game that came out before the game. And we'll get to that coming up more at 6:40. I think there's a lot of people who are thinking about the future of this franchise. I'm not going to plant a flag. I think I'm as open to Shador staying and being the quarterback in 2026 as I've ever been.
The starting quarterback?
The starting quarterback in 2026. I think I'm more open to it than I've ever been.
You're saying you feel better about that after yesterday than you did before yesterday?
I don't feel worse. Why?
It was just such a blah, dink and dunk extravaganza.
I thought he moved the offense as best he could.
He definitely moved the offense.
So what's the problem?
That it was not what he's been known for. He's been known for testing secondaries, giving receivers a chance down the field, and that pinpoint accuracy down the field. And yesterday we saw none of that. It was a total... Basically, the Bills were dropping, it felt like, 11 guys on every play, and... The underneath was open. They took the underneath. They took it until he got sacked two times in the game.
Well, I saw something differently. Let's open up the phone lines, by the way. I don't know how to do it myself, but let's get that done. 216-474-0092. I felt that there was a lot of blitzes. I wrote down a lot of blitzes in my notes. I took notes again. I won't be able to take notes next week because we'll be there, but I took notes again. I have a lot of blitzes here, but I thought that if they're going to take it away, there's no point of forcing the issue that it's not that you don't want to force.
It's always a balance. Like, it can't be my mind is made up beforehand that this is going to be, you know, the way things go. You know, yesterday, I guess, was the A-dot. Remember, we heard a lot about A-dot when Dylan Gabriel was the quarterback, about depth of target. And the difference had been all season that Shador was... The bigger A dots. He was throwing the ball down the field when the dink and dunk guy, and he was, you know, heavily ridiculed for it, was Dylan Gabriel. Yesterday he averaged 2.2 air yards per attempt. That's the lowest A dot for any Browns quarterback in 20 years.
Yeah.
Since they've been even keeping track of it.
I guess I'm going to get killed today because I didn't think it was a terrible performance overall.
I'm wrong. The interceptions were a huge blow, obviously, because...
Yeah, it's going to make everything look bad.
It's not that it looks bad. I mean, interceptions are bad. They come in many different forms and varieties. What did you think of the first one?
I thought the first one was definitely on him. It was behind Quinshon Judkins and high... J.J. Watt, I thought J.J. Watt did a pretty good job yesterday. J.J. Watt specified that during the game. I thought that was going to be on Shador, and I put it on Shador. But I didn't come away feeling worse about Shador.
What did you think of the second interception?
I thought the second interception, I think the second interception was probably on Shador, yes.
Yeah, they were reading his Bosa.
So they were both
play.
On him.
What a play. He spoiled the safety valve. I think it was Fannin. He knocked him silly and then kept his eyes. And basically, he was just reading Shador's eyes the entire time. Got his hands on it, and then that led to the deflection interception.
I thought that, but overall, I thought that he did a fair enough job. I'd give it a C, C+. I didn't think it was... I felt better about him moving the offense down the field than I felt about the big bombs to Isaiah Bond, because I don't believe that... If you're not moving the offense and all you're doing is throwing big bombs like you did last week, that's not an offense.
That's not something that's sustainable.
But they got down 10, and I really thought when they were down 10, things were going to start to come off the railings there, and they didn't. And I felt better about him and better about the chances of him staying moving forward after that game. And I can't deny my feelings. I know what I saw on Saturday with Dante Moore, and I know that that's going to be a big conversation piece moving forward, not just him, but Fernando Mendoza. But I also felt that, gosh, I saw what he did. I thought that he kept his composure. The pinky thing, because anytime there's a possibility of him getting hurt, my heart sinks, because I want to see him. Good, bad, ugly, whatever it is. Great, I want to see him. So anytime he gets hurt, like he came off the field, I'm like, oh, geez. And of course, and the fans... We got to talk about Boo and Dylan Gabriel, because they were right there after Dylan Gabriel, right when he came
in. Which I don't get why that's still happening.
Well,
that's kind of bizarre to me.
All right, well, then we got to ask later why they're booing Dylan Gabriel, because I have a reason why. You might just think it's just because it's Dylan.
Like,
who knows?
If they draft a rookie quarterback, is he going to get booed next year too? Like, would Mendoza be getting booed because he's not Shador?
So why is Dylan getting booed?
Oh,
I'll tell you right now. I think that people believe that he was Kevin Stefanski's pick. Kevin Stefanski is not a popular figure amongst Cleveland Browns fans.
Then wouldn't you boo Stefanski? Why would you boo the quarterback?
I think that's what they're doing. You can't just stand there and boo the whole game. People won't know who you're booing. But when Dylan Gabriel comes in, I think that people are booing Kevin Stefanski and believe that they're booing Kevin when Dylan comes out
there.
They
have all game to boo Kevin. I don't know why they need to take it out on when your quarterback gets injured. The backup comes in. See, that almost permeates that whole idea that
it does.
Who else gets to play quarterback here
if the
guy that's not Shador is getting booed?
Hey, I'm just giving you my reasoning for it. You can say it's a bad reason.
You understand the problems that can arise with that.
Understood.
And the conversations we're going to be having about that.
216-474-0092. Shador in the post game. Well, he answered your questions. He was asked a question about why there were a ton of checkdowns. Here's what Shador had to say. Here's what Shador had to say. Sanders 03, please. Okay, 216-474-0092. Let me.
It's really just building off last week. It's building off getting to the checkdowns. When you see it, pull it, take it. You know, playing in rhythm, like all those different things, like lurking, and I learn and I prove to myself I can do that. That's an aspect of my game that I got to be more consistent with. But I can see that, and like even the last drive, for example. And I was telling them, like, during the game, like, I respect their defense. I respect kind of like their coaching and how it was, because if you understand, it's kind of like that backer, that Mike backer running, walling, you know, taking that middle, because we had a through route. A vertical route from the inside. Then we had a dagger coming. And I'm like, okay, cool. I got the dagger. But then he peeled off and then was waiting on that dagger. So by the time I went, then it was just hard to get back down. I ran out of time. So that's just like, in those situations, it's like, you got to tip your cap to them. Like, that's the whole why. That's the ideal coverage you want a dagger in. You know what I'm saying? Anything else, you know, we would have got to the check down. We would have got to there quicker. But that's the why of you didn't just take that quick completion, because it was there, but that's good coaching.
Man, you're hearing this. There's a lot of learning going on while he's out there on the field. There's a lot of things that he's anticipating, and I will take completions. I give me short completions for this incubation period over long misses or long interceptions, for crying out loud. I mean, I'd rather have a nice close football. I don't want to lose, and there's no moral victory in all this. I don't want to lose, but give me a close game against a much better football team than trying to roast the ball down the field and having a bunch of and getting blown out. I'd much rather have yesterday. I mean, if I'm going to lose, I'd rather lose like I did yesterday than compared to the week before.
I don't think it has to be either or, though, and I think that's maybe part of the problem right now. Is he's kind of. The defenses are manipulating what he's going to do. And and when the defenses are totally manipulating what you're going to do, I mean, really, we had two big drives, right? We had the scripted drive to start out, which was good. I mean, that was great execution, waltzed down the field and everything. And then the other drive at the end of the third quarter was just they ran the ball. They were just gashing that Buffalo defense. But that's it. His drives were just, he took what the defense gave him, and then they either stalled out with interceptions or they didn't get anything.
But I don't hate that the drives that they drove. I'm not saying that he should be the guy yet. I'm not pointing that out. I think it's just way too early. I'll probably wait until after the college football playoff to make any sort of declaration about that. If you end up with number two, one or number two overall, I think it's a big time conversation. If you end up outside the top two, I think I might just be willing to stick. I think I might just be willing to stick, knowing that
and no bridge quarterback.
You can have your bridge quarterback's on your football team right now. Deshaun Watson's your bridge quarterback.
We talk so much about Mac Jones, and now there's going to be other obviously those types of guys depending on their contracts.
Mac Jones is going to be cheap as far as contracts are concerned, but.
Because he is going to
cost you picks. He's going to, like, they're going to say, well, you're only paying $4 million for Mac Jones, so you're going to give us some picks.
Based on what I have seen, I cannot fathom a world where they just come back next year and it's Deshaun and Shador. I don't know what coach would be excited about that. I don't know how the fans would be excited about that. That to me has 3 to 4 wins written all over it.
But I think that you have 3 to 4 wins written all over it anyway. There's no way. Like, I don't believe there's any way at all that we're going to infuse a Jaden Daniels type of season next year into the Cleveland Browns where they end up going to the AFC championship. If they got to the NFC championship game, it'd be a hell of a thing for the Browns. But I can't see them getting to an AFC championship game next year. I think that this is going to be pulling teeth no matter what. And so it's just of
so you don't believe that you don't believe that like quarterbacks can make that big of a difference.
I believe quarterbacks
can.
The way
that like Jaden did last year or CJ Stroud did when he came in.
I think it's rare. I think it's rare.
How about Shook? Tyler Shook has been playing.
He's done well.
Playing his butt off.
They also played the Jets yesterday. I think it's rare.
I've seen us play a bunch of bad teams and not be able to do what he did.
I think it's rare. And the Saints aren't going to the playoffs. I think it's rare. And I don't think that you're going to be, and I think it's becoming rarer and rarer that you're going to find that guy that can make that immediate impact. Now, I disagree with a lot of people's reasoning on it where they go, well, this quarterback class isn't that good. No, you said that about the 2025 class too. And I have a feeling
I have a feeling if you say every year ahead of time that it's going to be a good class.
Well, there you go.
And then when they're actually faced with maybe taking one, which we never do, we've been one of the few teams that actually outside of Baker in 20 plus years, somebody put it up yesterday, we've actually done it. Less than almost 90% of the league.
And I agree with you. And I think that so many people, they are getting themselves ready for 2027 already, and I think you guys will just talk yourselves out of that. That, I'm with you. I can tell you're frustrated by what I'm saying to you, because you can't believe that I saw something that you didn't see.
Well, because I thought we all agreed at the start of the year, like, whether it was going to be Dillon Gabriel or Shador, it was going to be very tough for a third or a fifth round pick, especially with how bad most people did think the Browns were going to be. And by the time we got to them, it was like, oh, my God, with the Flacco disaster at the start of the season, it was like, all right, season seems over. Now it's just about seeing whether or not we take these quarterbacks or reserve a spot for a quarterback at the top of the draft. Well, lo and behold, we're sitting here today with the third pick in the draft. Vegas plays the Giants ahead of us. There's a scenario. I mean, if we just lose the next two, and we are underdogs, obviously, against Pittsburgh, who's going to want that game big time to fend off Baltimore once and for all in the division, that we could end up with the second overall pick.
I understand.
In the draft.
And you're going to have a big-time conversation.
So didn't we say at the start of the year, it's got to be so unequivocal? Like either Shador or Dillon Gabriel have to play. The bar is going to be so tough.
But we also have,
and there's no chance anybody could realistically say that Shador or Dillon have played to that bar forget about drafting a quarterback if you had a top three pick.
They have not yet, but I think we have the benefit of new information. Let me give you the new information here, is I see these two quarterbacks. I really like Fernando Mendoza. I will not lie to anybody on that.
Them turn in the card, Dante. They do whatever it takes.
You got to have number one, and I don't know if I'm willing to give up everything to go up to number one to go after Fernando Mendoza. Let me finish the statement here. I know you want to press my buttons. Oh, you want to help me?
Yeah,
out?
It sounds like you need some help here.
Help with what?
Because I can't believe what I'm hearing. The Ken Carman who agreed with me all year that this was a tough bar. You were going to have to play so well. And then you're like, ah, he hasn't really played that well. But now I'm not going to turn in the card, even though I love Fernando Mendoza. It's like, none of that computes. None of that's logically coherent.
No. I said it was going to be hard. And I think that there's been times where he's played well. I also think that he started this season behind the eight ball. Yeah. And it's not because I'm afraid. Let me make this specifically clear. The reason I'm starting to feel this way, you're not going to trick me into saying something I don't mean. But the reason I'm starting to feel this way is about him. Not because of my fear of the other quarterbacks. It's more about him. I want to see more of him. I want to see more of him with this football team and not necessarily give up on him. Because when you get a number one overall pick or a number two overall pick, that's exactly what you're going to do. He goes away. That's it. I'm more willing because of him, not because I'm afraid of quarterbacks, because I've accused a lot of people of being afraid to take the quarterback. I'm still with you on that, but I feel more confident about Shador based on things that I've seen here recently. 216-474-0092. So are you more open with me? Live, I can't believe it. I have a feeling I'm going to fight this fight all morning. I'm more open to him. Are you more open to him? Or are you like, Ken, what did you see? I'm open to that criticism. Ken Carmen, Tone Master General, take us with you to work on the absolutely free Odyssey app.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Somehow this team that's struggled all year long hasn't looked good. Coach receiving incredible grief most of the season. Rookies everywhere. Somehow this team had the football with a chance to beat the Buffalo Bills late in the football game yesterday. We're going to figure out why, figure out what it means, and have a whole heck of a lot of fun coming up here in the next 4 hours. I'm Jeff Phelps, my partner today. The star of stage, screen, and late night radio, right here on 92.3 The Fan, Mr. Jake Volnick. Hi.
Hi, Jeff. What's going on? How are we doing?
Couldn't be finer. How about you?
This is the first time that's not a Sunday that I've woken up before 10 o'clock in probably 8 months. And the first time that I went to sleep that wasn't midnight or beyond probably in the last 8 months.
Yeah, how's that night gig treating you, other than full-time employment?
Well, that part's great, obviously. Also, it's good. I have fun. I talk to myself most nights, but that's okay. That's a good time.
Yeah, in most places, that'll get you looked at by medical personnel.
That will do it. Not here, though. Not here. They appreciate that one.
Not here. Yeah, they like it a lot. They had a chance to tie or beat the Buffalo Bills yesterday. What's this all mean, Jake?
I think it means you got a heck of a lot better game than you were expecting. I think it means the offense played a lot better. I was at the game a lot. Too many happy Buffalo fans, I'll tell you that much. A lot of people very excited to walk out of this game 23-20. If I was a Buffalo fan, I'd be sitting there with my hand across my chest trying to make sure I'm not having a heart attack because we almost just lost to the now 3-12 Cleveland Browns.
Everybody who wants Kevin Stefanski fired, and by golly, it seems to be most of the people who call our show. Browns didn't quit against a 23-20 loss against the team that many folks think will end up in the Super Bowl. Does it mean anything? coach get bonus points for that? Does it help him? Does it hurt him? Did they not get it done, so you're going to dump on him anyway? What's it mean?
I think it can't hurt him, right? Like, you play a close game, it's not going to hurt him. I don't know that not walking away with a win really helps you in any aspect. Like, sure, they played hard, but at the end of the day, you walk out with a 3-12 record. I just don't know too many coaches that win 6 games in 2 years and don't get fired. Like, that's the bottom line of it. Or win 7 games in 2 years and don't get fired, especially when you're 6 years into it. Like, that's kind of, you have to put wins on the board. And I think even if you rattled off 3 wins at the end of the year, I think it makes it a lot harder. Does it change everybody's mind in that aspect of, oh, well, now you've won 9 games in the last 2 years and we ended the season on a positive. Now we can't possibly move off of you, right? Like, I don't know that that's the route that it goes down, where you're just so beholden to the idea that Kevin can actually fix this, Kevin can turn this thing around, and that the message, like, last week it felt like it got stale. This week it felt like guys at least fought through it. The defense improved at least in the second half, even though they kind of got gashed on the ground in the first half more so. But
yes,
like, it was not pretty.
James Cook, 9 carries, 100 yards. By the way, just received a text from my friend Young Joe, who's driving back to Michigan. Joe, thanks for listening. Young guy I worked with many years ago. So you'll be sending me texts in the years ahead. Remember that, Volnick?
I'm going to remember. I'm going to somehow remember. You'll get a random text from me in 5 years.
It's going to be great.
Hi, Jeff.
It's going to be great. Here's the thing. I've said this all season long. My thought on it hasn't changed. NFL coaches don't survive back-to-back 3-win seasons. I don't care what circumstances are involved. Anybody who's listened to our show knows I think Kevin can coach. Every time I read something about Kevin being on the hot seat or getting canned or not going to survive in Cleveland, it's immediately followed by, and boy, he'll be a top candidate for every job out there. And I think, okay, should it be here or is this gig just up? And Jake, I think that's something that ownership has to decide. And I understand you need a new voice. It's not working here anymore, everything else. But I must tell you, I don't separate the coach and the GM here. The GM's had one really good draft in the last draft. And other than that, I think it's been spotty at best. And I'm as fascinating as the season has been here as it's winding down. And fascinating is different than successful, obviously. But you can watch this team and think, well, this is really interesting what's going on from a sports standpoint. Not good, but interesting. But coaches don't survive this. And if he does, it tells us everything we need to know about Deshaun and what the ownership was thinking and everything else. But I'm real curious what happens with the GM at the end of the year if the coach doesn't stay.
Well, I thought we got the interesting report over the weekend for me and Rappaport, basically being with the message that Andrew Berry is going to be a big part of this thing moving forward and getting this team rebuilt. Because that makes it sound like Andrew's not going anywhere.
It sure does, doesn't it?
Which I think for a lot of people was kind of the expectation, but at the same time, I don't know that, like, it didn't feel like it was set in stone. Like, I think you look at the draft and we've all kind of gotten the feeling that Andrew Berry, there'd be a good chance that he would be back here, but it wasn't a guarantee. Not that Ian Rappaport's report absolutely guarantees it, but it sure makes it feel like it's a lot more likely that Andrew's here. And when we talk about changes elsewhere, and I hear, well, the analytics staff that Paul DePodesta put back, they're probably bringing a lot of those guys back, and those guys are staying in place. It's like, okay, but if changes are expected, I don't know where else you're looking other than the coaching staff and specifically your head coach and probably the entire offensive side of the ball, the side that struggled for the last 2 years. Meanwhile, while the defense has been, Super Bowl caliber this year, and I think a lot of people even looked at the defense last year and went, well, the offense didn't help you out very much. You're probably a lot better than the numbers say you are. Like, that's the odd part. Andrew Berry is a GM. Offensively did not set this team up for success in the slightest way. Right? Like, the offensive line, both starting and depth, was terrible. The wide receiver was terrible.
It got old, and it was injured.
It did. But even the depth pieces you brought in, like, Cornelius Lucas was the big swing tackle signing. And on most weeks, Cornelius Lucas isn't even, like, if they were healthier, he'd probably be a healthy scratch. Because we saw him be a healthy scratch later on in the year. Like, he deserves so much, pushback for that. But at the same time, also built the defense the way that it looks right now, too. Where there's more positives that you can pick out for Andrew Berry, I think, than you can pick out for Kevin Stefanski right now. Even though I agree with you, he's a really good coach. He will be a top candidate, no doubt about it.
You really think there are more positives now with Andrew Berry than there are with Kevin Stefanski?
I do think that.
Based on one draft?
I think it's based on the draft and the fact that you look at the defense and go, everything isn't like next year. There's going to be very few tweaks going into this offseason that you have to make, because a lot of those guys are either expected to be back on short contracts, like a guy like Devin Bush, or are already locked up long term. And that defense is playing at a high level. Sure, he botched the offensive side of the ball, no doubt about it. But he's also built the defense at the same time and put together what is, you know, for right now, a really good draft, despite the 5 before it obviously not being that great.
I would agree about the defense being better and Berry having a lot to do with that. Obviously, Myles Garrett was already here. Denzel Ward was already here.
Right.
But there are guys on the defense that he's brought in, free agent signings. I think they've done a good job on that on the defensive side of the ball. All I know is right now you're sitting in the third draft position, and the two teams ahead of you play next week. That's going to be interesting. Giants and Raiders play. So what does that do to anything? I hate to say you don't want to see your team win football games, but from a draft position standpoint, it would do the Browns no good at all to beat Pittsburgh or Cincinnati. On the other hand, tell the players, you know, we want a better draft position so we can bring in your replacements. That's not going to happen. They're going to play hard, just like they did yesterday. And that's what the one thing I keep going back to. We've had people call, this team doesn't play hard for Kevin. No, they pretty much do. I thought they played really hard, but it's a situation I don't think anybody expected this year. Sitting here with 3 wins and 12 losses, not good. Coaches don't survive that. I'd be stunned if Kevin survives this. I really would, just based on what we all know about the NFL. Coaches don't survive back-to-back 3-win seasons. Even 3 followed by 5, if they happen to win out, you don't survive that. So the offseason is going to be fascinating, which I think brings us to the quarterback. Shedeur Sanders yesterday was 20 of 29. He completed his first 8 passes. The pro on the first 8 passes did a great job of taking what the defense gave them, dumped it off, a lot of short stuff. He completed 20 passes for 157 yards. I don't know if the passing game was very impactful yesterday, Jake. I don't think it was. But if the front office stays, I would think Shedeur has a great chance of going into next year, at the very least, in the conversation to be the starter. But if they get the 3rd pick, I saw a mock draft. We're going to go over it a little later on. It has the Browns trading up and taking a quarterback. And it just, this whole offseason is just going to be, I think, huge in moves that are made. And some that are going to boggle the minds of Browns fans.
It's going to be one way or another, because I feel like Browns fans are split right now. And I think, honestly, I think if you ask most people do lean the side of go with Shedeur for 2026 and then draft the pieces around him. Like,
have you seen enough from Shedeur that you think, yes, he's the guy? Or do you think, as I think, what you just said is what I think. I'd be okay with him being the starting quarterback for 2026, but I think then he's got to either win the job or you're going to have to get somebody else. The problem with that is this. This might be your best chance to get a top-notch quarterback in this draft if you're sitting 2nd or 3rd.
Yeah, I mean, certainly if you're sitting 2nd right now, I mean, based on what we know, you got at least 2 guys sitting at the top right now, Fernando Mendoza and Dante Moore. Not much behind it.
Dante Moore from Cleveland, by the way.
Yeah, definitely a liking of, I think a lot of people around here would like that idea.
I think a lot of people would. It's meaningless, but I think a lot of people would like it.
Like, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really mean much, but I don't know. I've seen enough from him. I think, and this is where I say, and I've seen enough for him to make myself sit there and have reasonable doubt that if you don't draft a quarterback next year, at least for next season, what does it look like?
Yeah.
I don't know that I take a rookie quarterback and it looks miles better next year than it does if you play Shedeur.
And Dante Moore looks like the type of guy who would really benefit from sitting a year.
Probably. I mean, he's got basically 1 full year as a starter plus a little bit of time.
Right. And he's a young guy anyway. I mean, he's young for a guy coming out. Folks, they almost beat the Buffalo Bills yesterday. Almost means nothing. Right? Or does it mean anything? 216-474-0092. And it leads, I think, maybe to more questions than answers for the Browns moving forward. It's Baskin and Phelps with Volnick in for Andy today.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All sorts of people just try to throw Shedeur Sanders down and bring in all sorts of different equations while, I don't know, just ignoring the idea that they watch the game. It bothers them to me. I don't know. I get angry about it.
I thought yesterday was more frustrating as a Browns fan before the game than it was the actual game itself.
Well, before, that was the other thing. It was a weird day because we were talking. I did the pregame with Coach, and we were just talking about the reports and everything. It took us until about 2.5 hours into that pregame show before we even mentioned Shedeur Sanders' name,
yeah,
which is not typical at all, but also the idea that we were just in so many other directions than what the actual game is itself.
I am not going to be fan shame guy. I'm not. But I would like to point out, there were far too many people completely okay, not completely rooting for the Browns to lose yesterday. Guys, I can't do this, and I don't know how you can either. To me, rooting to lose for draft position in a draft where nobody's sure if any one of these quarterbacks is even on the level of the guys we want them to be, a la a Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Like, oh, could they be as good as Cam Ward? Dream bigger. But the point is, like, I think it's Brandon Little, one of the great Browns analysts around town, had talked about all the things you were hoping for. You want the Raiders to win. You want the Titans to win. You want the Giants to win, this, that, and the other. And I remember just thinking, like, I just want the Browns to win. Like, when did that become a hot take, that wanting your team to win at any point in the year is somehow you're not being a good fan?
It is fun to watch the other teams, though, and be like, oh, the Titans really are going to, wow, the Chiefs aren't going to score double digits at all in this game.
I don't care.
That part of it.
When it comes to draft position, I just do not give a rip.
You let the chips fall where they fall at the end of the day?
Yeah, like, I just, this idea that tanking is good and that we should be rooting against our team if you're a real fan. No, to hell with that. If you're a real fan, you're rooting for the Browns to win yesterday. And I'll be honest with you. I looked at that game. I was a little frustrated they didn't win because I thought it was winnable.
Yeah.
But I didn't come away from that game scorched earth. I came away thinking you were 10.5-point dogs at home against a team that was playing for something. It's not like the Bills are the one seed by a mile. They're the sixth seed right now. Oh, and by the way, New England won as well. So New England keeps their spot for the AFC East, which right now would make them a two seed. So, like, the Bills are playing for something. And that's the other thing. Oh, the Bills sleptwalked through this game. The Bills were trying to win the game.
No, they came out guns a-blazing. Three drives, they scored touchdowns.
I don't know, man. I was proud of the effort that team gave yesterday, because it was antithetical to the Bears game. It was. The Bears game, they looked flat. They looked like their minds were on Cabo. And they put a positive in the column yesterday. And by the way, I thought Shedeur battled yesterday.
Shedeur did battle yesterday.
Like, it's just weird. It's just, I don't know. I just think anyone who came away from that game thinking Shedeur was awful, I think we need to revisit a lot of the December quarterback play we've seen from the losing Cleveland Browns, because he gave you a chance to win yesterday. He didn't win.
Basically, after the Quinshon injury, it is basically a whole line of backup players. I mean, like, a whole everything. And not only just between the offensive line, but also then you have a backup running back. You have does Jerry Jeudy even count as a number one at this point? Doesn't seem like it to me. Doesn't seem like you can even find him. You have the worst pass catching core in the entire NFL. You have backup offensive linemen across the board, and it's a December game against a team where you're 10.5 point underdogs. Like that game to be competitive in the fourth quarter in many ways was a win. But again, people don't want to look at it that way, and I'm not going to tell people how to look at it because it is what it is.
I will. No, I think we need to have some perspective on this. I think we need to think about how games in December traditionally go, how the Bears game went a week ago. Friday, what did I say? I want to see this team be competitive. I want to see enough guys still playing for something.
Well, it definitely felt, by the way, like Kevin Stefanski wanted that win.
Yes.
I know in the past few weeks accused him is the right term, but wondered aloud whether or not this was Stefanski just kind of mailing it in and wanting to go to a different team. When you get Shador to basically not throw the ball deep at all and make that your game plan, it was a real game plan. You might have hated the game plan. I did. I hated the game plan. I get you want to take the free meals, as Coach Riz calls them. Throw the ball deep. Let's see what you can do. But that was Stefanski's way of trying to get them in a close game, in a competitive game, and they were moving the offense for a little bit. There were stretches where the offense looked alive.
So I will give Kevin Stefanski the credit.
He didn't lay down and die.
For keeping the team in.
It was a real game plan.
Yeah, those guys were playing yesterday. I hated the game plan. And listen, I don't of the time. At some point, if you'd like to win that game,
that's like his
bread and
butter.
You got to put him on the table.
No, but that's his bread and butter game plan. That's why I think today he came out and spoke so glowingly of Shador, is because Shador basically followed the instructions and asked him and basically did what Stefanski had asked him to do the entire time. He turned him into Dylan Gabriel in many respects, and that's not a compliment in any sort of way. I didn't know that Shador could be talked into having that happen, and he did.
I think Shador fans feel like their quarterback got neutered a little bit yesterday. I'm with you there. At the same point, I do think people are missing the number one thing why yesterday was a positive for Shador and the Browns is if Kevin Stefanski's still here, that's what he's going to want Shador to do. Shador proved he could do that. That, in no small measure, that is impressive. What's the thing they said? You know what? You can make the big plays, but he can't take the easy plays, the free lunches, as Coach Reisland would say. And again, Coach, thank you for my free lunch today. I really enjoyed that burger bet. We should do it again, but not right now. But by the same point, like, Shador did prove something yesterday, even though they didn't get the win.
Yeah, if I was Shador, I would have gone against the rules. I would have made the bet that Stefanski won't be here at the end of the season, and just hope that that's the reality, because that's not that wasn't great in many respects for what Shador is trying to do as far as proving to the rest of the NFL that he can play in this game.
Well, no. I think that is, though. I think him being a check down Charlie yesterday, I think the rest of the NFL wants to see that from him. I think coaches want to see.
I just don't need a whole game of it. I really don't. I sat there and I'm like, well, I understand defensively what they were trying to do and limiting everything. You're in the NFL. Offense can beat defense. Make plays happen. Hated. I didn't like that at all.
No, I would agree. But I think if Shador's out to prove to the entirety of the NFL, like, do I think he probably endeared himself to Stefanski a little bit
because
he ran his boring ass offense?
That's why Stefanski spoke as glowingly today about him as we've ever heard of.
But it's not just Stefanski. There are coaches out there that have said, Shador can't do that part of the game. That's why he can't be my starter.
And so
you did put that tape out there for the rest of the NFL as well.
I wonder this entire time if this stretch here was just all about Shador basically trying to prove what the doubters are saying about him and rewrite it and like do so with the limited opportunities that he's been given. Like, I don't think it's an accident that the most positive thing you can say about Shador right now is that he throws a deep ball. When the deep ball was the one thing coming out of the draft that people said he couldn't do, and he made sure to make that the point of emphasis for the first 3-4 weeks that he had an opportunity to showcase that he could do that. I don't think that's an accident. Like, and so maybe this is just him just again checking off boxes, and he hoped by the end of the season he's checked off enough boxes. But ultimately, it did nothing for me. It didn't satisfy me in any sort of way.
Yeah, but think about it. It's not about satisfying you. You already bought in on him. There are people that said you can't play within the offense. They can't say that. Like we've now moved. I see it on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube chat already. Oh, she's stacking up the losses. Great analysis, bro. Yeah, because that's why they lost. It wasn't the defense made James Cook look like Jim Brown circa 1962. No. No. Yeah, no. By the way, the defense was putrid yesterday. I know they put it together in the second half, but the point is that's why they lost. My point is, like, Shador did to one of the biggest things people would use to discredit him for one game only. He did that. So again, I hated it. You hated it.
I hated it.
But he did. Well, he did have to prove that to everybody in the NFL.
I know, but the thing I liked about it was that you could tell Stefanski was doing it. That was a classic Stefanski game, and this is why I think his brain is broke right now from an offensive standpoint. He thinks that's the best way to win a game. And I just disagree. I think when you're going up against Josh Allen and Cook and all these other guys, I just don't think that's the best way to win a game. But it was they looked lively at the end. That's all that mattered to them. They looked like they were competitive at the end. That's all that mattered to them. I think he was trying so hard to make sure that it wasn't a blowout again like last week, that this is what he came up with. And so from that perspective, they executed it, but it's not a way to do anything long term.
216-474-0092. What grade does Shador get for Sunday's game against the Bills? If you're hypercritical of Shador today, or if you're hypercritical of the Browns, or hypercritical of Stefanski today, I tend to think, I know this is the kind of game that I know nobody wants to do this because we all like to just be fire Stefanski, Shador is or isn't the guy. I think yesterday was a good day for the Browns. As much as it stunk to lose, I did want to win that game. I think it was a good day for the Cleveland Browns. We got quick hits coming up at 3:20 today. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider at 3:40. We'll get to his thoughts on Shador's recent play. We'll get to his thoughts on the value of getting a number three pick or a top three pick. Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst at 5. Obviously, Nathan, not just in the booth with Andrew Siciliano each week, but a big film guy himself will get his take on Shador. Where does this offense go without Quinshon Judkins? And then Daryl Ryder coming up at 6 o'clock today. I will say that was the thing that was the one part of it that was really hard to take yesterday was Quinshon's injury.
Yeah.
You just root for full recovery for that kid because he really did a lot of really special things. And I hope he gets the opportunity next year to be 100% healthy and show everybody how really good he can be behind a decent offensive line.
Yeah, he just needs a better offensive line. Like, he didn't have much of a chance. And it is one thing, though. And Coach, by the way, it's like the 7th Coach Riz shout-out, but you buy his burgers, you get a lot of shout-outs, I guess.
It's true.
Coach Riz has been harping on this for weeks, the idea that his playing style leads to injuries. Like, in particular, his playing style not great when it comes to that part of the game, and there we have it. That was crushing.
Eric on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel saying B+. Jim saying C. Devrion saying B. What grade does Shador Sanders get for Sunday's loss to the Bills? And the future with Shador in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.